heads of households is a technical term now, and that's 3.3%. Not to be confused with adult men, or
3.6,
or male heads of, how does that one go? The married men heads of families is the one that's having the 2.6.
There's so many unmarried men who are heads of families, that's the problem.
But these are perfectly, I mean, they, most people, when you took out overall functions, have no idea of these facts or of the proposition that the average duration of employment.
Yeah.
And so they think of people, you know,
this doctor wrote an article, and she said, I was taking undue liberties with the facts because, it was in the Times, I don't know, a week ago or so, because I had said that we were in the 2% range, when actually it was 3.3% for heads of household. What she did was to take the manual definition of heads of household and insert it in the article as what I intended to mean, which I thought was a little bit reaching for it.
She'll reach for anything she can get. Yeah. But ever since she cut off the news briefing down there, yeah. She is rush-assing me on everything is done.
Well, I called her and told her I was all done with her, but as far as I was concerned, nobody on our staff was ever going to see her again.
Did you know that she's related to her daughter, Mom?
John, speaking of female writers, there was a piece by Judith Brown on the Star the other day, which was sort of a blueprint for how the government could exploit competition.
Yeah.
I read this letter to the Star, which in effect twits her for offering the opportunity by demagogic devices to exploit. But I said I'm not going to undertake a point by point response. I would like to emphasize one key aspect of this, which is the experience under phase two in healthcare costs, which I said has been a very much under-recognized achievement, success story, in fact. And it is impressive that hospital costs, the rate of increase in hospital costs has been reduced from annual rate of 13% to 7%. And the rate of increase in doctor's fees has been reduced from around 6% to about 2.3%. That is pretty damn good.
I feel more like a reporter on the situation and your Labor Day speech responded to and helped to reinforce this. Now, the passage of time has the right to consciousness that there will be great temptation on the part of the Senate to duck out on the welfare reform part of H.R. 1 entirely. Long in a colloquy on the floor the other day with Hartke said, in effect, that he thought that Title 1 of H.R. 1, which is the part that deals with some further amendments of the income benefits, might take 4 or 5 days or a week. Title 2, which deals with Medicare and Medicaid, might take another week. Title 3, which deals with the adult categories, aged, blind, and disabled, might take up to 2 weeks. There's a total of 4, close to it. And he added Title 4, welfare reform, could very well take the rest of the time from Christmas. Now, in the circumstances, there will be strong pressures to push through the Senate a bill that contains Titles 1, 2, and 3, minus welfare reform entirely. This might come either because after a period of debate, perhaps some filibustering on welfare reform, the Senate by tacit consent agreed to drop it, and perhaps to substitute a test-only amendment, one has been offered by Rob. Or perhaps if it would be sidetracked, they might take up the debt ceiling bill, and Title 1, 2, and 3 could very well then be offered as amendments to the debt ceiling bill. In any case, the time between now and election would have run out without action on welfare reform. And I think that without any definitive action on your part, this is the likely outcome, that you would get delivered to you a bill which contained Titles 1, 2, and 3, whether under H.R. 1 or as part of a debt ceiling bill, or possibly added to some other bill. So the question then is, what might be done? Of course, the option of not doing anything or not very much, other than to evidence support of Title 4 when it comes to the floor, is in itself one option. A second would be to make very clear that you did not intend to accept or acquiesce in any move to send to you the first three titles minus welfare reform. And to let it be understood, perhaps, as a way of reinforcing this, that rather than acquiesce in the simple proposition that time has run out and there is no time for Title 4, that in those circumstances you would bring the Congress back. The only remaining possibility would be to seek to determine what base there would be for agreement among a range of views in the Senate representing both the Finance Committee and the supporters of H.R. 1 as it passed the House, as well as perhaps some of the supporters of the Ribicoff Amendment. We have given some thought to what that kind of a possible approach might look like, and in broad terms, it could involve a work relief provision, which in effect provided that able-bodied employable persons on welfare could be required to take a public service job for the amount of their welfare benefit at the prevailing wage, that is, they would work at whatever the prevailing wage is, enough hours to earn the benefit, with some perhaps additional modest payment in order to reinforce the general proposition that in principle, a family with a working head should be better off than a family where no one is working. This could be done.
done for an additional spend payment of, say, $100 a month. At the same time, it would be possible to meet the principal concerns of the senators who have joined in the Ribbentrop Amendment, and a good many senators, including a good many senators on our side, like Scott, for instance, by agreeing that the bill would provide for maintaining present benefit levels, that is, no state in which the participating program would cut benefit levels below the present benefit rates, and perhaps a provision for an updating of the minimum benefit given the lapse of time since $2,400 was originally proposed in H.R. 1. So this could be done, maybe moved to $2,600, which would be somewhat less than the actual cost of living increase in. And possibly a provision which restored the work incentive feature from 50%. From 67% to 50%. That is, that the rate of the benefits would decline on the basis of 50 cents on the dollar for each dollar earned. This would meet an objection that the family now, under the bill as now written, would not be enough better off with earnings, because two-thirds of the earnings would be taken away. These features are the kinds of things that could be done. Would be in some sense a move toward the Finance Committee in the form of work relief, a move toward the Ribbentrop support in the form of the maintenance of minimum benefit levels and $2,600 minimum. On the cost side, this combination would actually bring us out, under current estimates, at something less than our last published estimates for H.R. 1 in self-passed form. And this is because wage rates have increased meanwhile, and because there are new estimates of family participation in food stamps. All of these, any of these alternatives that are realistic at all, whether it's H.R. 1 has passed or this kind of combination, would, we think, cost less than current law in fiscal 34, 5, 6, and future years. And that brings me to the concluding point in this exposition, which is that we may well be in a situation where if we don't get a bill in this Congress, we may not get welfare reform until the Congress after this coming one. Mills has in effect, one
after
the bill. Yes. Mills has pointed out that his committee will have before it tax legislation, trade legislation, and then health insurance. And these will constitute a very full platter for the committee. House having twice faced down to what was could be as late as, say, 2 years from June or July 1975 at the earliest, which would take us over into calendar year 1977. And the nest is already overpowered. And the situation is one in which the morale of everybody involved has been deteriorating progressively as costs escalated and as suspicions of fraud and fakery and maladministration have grown. I think the existing situation is one which is inherently incapable of being administered well. But it is split up effectively in 1152 jurisdictions, and they operate file systems out of shoeboxes. Dick Nathan, you remember, came over to HW a year ago to develop plans for the administration of the Welfare and War Program. He and people system would look like and so on. But in the process he's traveled around looking at what we have now. And it's bad. So bad. The alternatives are to play out the spring more or less, utilizing the opportunity as it comes along to reiterate support for the welfare reform title of HR1, but really not believing that two, to take an appropriate time to reinforce.
here's the way I see that they're coming out. I don't know that some of our people believe that there's a chance to win the Senate. There is. But we've got a couple of soft spots. Those areas where we have a chance to win. We have relatively weak candidates, unfortunately, in several of them. But there's a chance. It could be very close. We could come up and we can get it. Could be won. The Senate could be won. We could get up to 50. We could get to 49 if we're at 50. Or something that goes along with that. So that's the composition of the Senate. The House is tough. But if you cut in half the present margins that appear in the race, as they affect the northeastern block of states, looking at the general situation, the way I would examine it. starting with a base that was much smaller than the Democratic candidate with approximately 24%. So Democrats start with 45% of its base. The optimum is the Eisenhower 56, where we had good times, as you can call on the plan, we're about 4.5%, and where we had a good international issue helping us in the last of Suez and Hungarian crises. So we got 57.5. So if we do that, that 57.5, I would say that what we would be looking at, and these are important, we would be looking at gains.
Says it's cool getting out the 1st of October. Are we
think we have to recognize that there really isn't a good chance, a reasonable chance, that you can get anything that is responsible through this Congress on welfare, on welfare reform. Odd stands, bits and pieces, maybe hung on to a debt ceiling. But they're not going to tackle this highly volatile issue where people are stirred up. We're coming out before this election. I just don't see it coming out good. I think it might come out very, very bad. And I think the worst to go for it would be for them to pass some half-ass thing and send it down here, and I have to veto it. I would have let them follow it up right there down themselves if they can. At least that's my question.
There is a problem remaining of together three titles, which really could very well, and which in the sense of provisions are expensive and have bad features. It would be more palatable as part of the price of the bill that included a welfare reform title. They would be politically hard to veto. I think in any event, the general outline of which you said, these seems to me to point to holding hard on the proposition that you want a bill that has Title IV in it.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
The effectiveness of that fight could well contribute to assuring you didn't have to get a bill for the other title in it, minus welfare reform.
It might. Thank you. controlled that very effectively to overcome it. It was close all the time. And we talk about, do we have an insurmountable lead in that thing? But if you Gallup's polls, which I did a couple of weeks ago, do we turn Gallup had to, at the time Gallup quit polling, his lead, Dewey's lead over Truman was 6 points. He quit polling and said, Dewey's done it. That's an easy shift.
And said it.
Yeah. And so we have a situation here where running against the Congress is probably not needed as a, well, understand. I think the main, you could lose your own, you could be very discreet in getting the word that he can carry the heart of that. You could too. I mean, about the Congress, you're the chancellor for a while. I think that's good strategically as well as on this particular issue.
Sure, well, sure.
Get as much as you can. Get them out. Get them home. There is another point of view.
We still got
big deal anyway. Huh?
You still have a few bills we could get.
I did.
Vocational Rehabilitation, Older Americans Act, which they have in fact gone along pretty much with our recommendations. The Health and Rehabilitation legislation in the House of Jury.
Can we agree as far as press line is concerned?
Yeah.
That we remain for HR1.
Yeah, our line is one welfare reform.
Right. And that we don't think it's dead. Somebody's putting up a line around that welfare is dead in this Congress. I think that's a tough line for us to push.
I don't think we need to. And there may come situations where, in order to protect the issue and the record, it'd be important for you to walk close to the
Sure. But what you should say is what the press line should be. We had a meeting on it, and we're going to continue to fight for HR1 welfare reform.
Very much alive.
We do not accept the statements by some leaders that it's finished. We don't accept that. We don't take the defeatist attitude. Say this, remember, you might say, you can remember when many were saying that revenue sharing was dead, and now it's very much alive. And we're taking the same attitude most early on. To fight for HR1.
There'll be enough surge this week. I think the Finance Committee will get it out probably Friday.
So it'll be.
The fact that this meeting is not known, it will not be. I think it might be just as well not to indicate that we had a meeting, but just that our position remains the same.
Let it be reflected in your I think anyone, as far as all the other chairmen are concerned, they know the president's views. In other words, they have to say that, but I would say we had a big strategy meeting and decided something. In other words, we just lost
our position.
I certainly would love to get away with the idea that the present leadership.